This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it is indeed. It is Monday. It is 3 o'clock, and that means we are coming to you live from CliffCentral.com. My name is Dean Buerta. This is the Inspired Youth SA show, proudly brought to you, of course, by CliffCentral.com as well as Pride Factor. We have some interesting guests in the house today, and of course, remembering that every Monday, what it is that we do is we talk about the youth. It's all about the youth engaging with adult listeners, professionals, educators, influencers, and officials to show them their thoughts, their talents, their concepts, opinions, and obviously just advice for a greater future in general. Today, we're going to be talking to three very special guests, two sisters and one young man that I've known for a rather long time. So it's always nice to have someone in the house that there's a bit of a relationship with. Today, we're talking about talent, how people come about talent. Are you born with it? Is it something that is brought upon as life and training goes on? Or how do you enhance your talent? So joining me in the studio, the first guest up and running is Mr. Matthew Bromley.
Hi, how's it going?
Okay, so the mic is on.
Stoked to be here.
Matt, you are not someone we would normally see in Johannesburg.
Yes, no, I definitely love being on the coast and I love the ocean, grew up on the beach, and that's where I feel most comfortable. So inland is a bit different for me.
I'm sure it is. So for all you guys out there, Matthew Bromley is straight to the point, a professional surfer that has been doing some very, very interesting stuff through his professional surfing career, from free surfing to making videos and doing all kinds of things. And we now find him here in very sunny Joburg with the launch of a new movie.
Yes. Yeah. So tonight we're going to be launching my film Risky Ripples.
Yes.
This is the fourth premiere that we've had in the country. And yeah, we're very excited. It's going to be down at Rosebank at 7 p.m. tonight.
Okay, so the fourth premiere so far.
Yes.
Where have you been so far, and where are you off to next?
So on Wednesday, we had the opening at the Labia Theatre in Cape Town, and we rented out two screens. It was an amazing turnout. We had 500 plus people there, and it was really incredible. Like, for me, traveling around and chasing these big waves is incredible, but when you bring it back home to the home audience and you see people getting stoked and inspired, like, that's where it all happens for me. Then two nights later, we went up to Port Elizabeth. We had a showing there in a Mexican restaurant. Following that, we were at Takazulu in Durban, and then tonight we have the end off in Joburg.
Now, how did the Durban crew take to the movie?
Yeah, the Durban guys were super excited. The guys, when I show them the big crazy barrels I'm getting, they always get inspired to go out on slightly bigger days and push their limits a bit harder. So it's always awesome.
Brilliant. Okay, is tonight the last launch?
Yeah, tonight's the last launch. And it's always interesting coming to Joburg because obviously there's not a lot of practicing surfers here because we're far from the coast. But I did a premiere here about a year and a half ago, and I saw all the old surfers who are stuck working here putting on their old surf t-shirts again, wiping off the dust and telling me all their old surf stories. So it was awesome.
Well, that's why I've got my shorts on today, I must be honest. These legs haven't seen the sun in quite a while. But okay, so I mean, Matthew, you come from a very interesting background. Obviously, surfing has been in your veins and in your blood and in your life from father, etc. So give us a bit of a background just from my side. Matthew and I obviously grew up together in Komaki, or not obviously, but grew up together in Komaki. I remember emceeing a couple of contests and commentating sporting events, and Matthew Bromley was always one of the boys in the final. There was a couple of very familiar faces. You then jumped onto the big wave bandwagon side of things, and the whole world took kind of a different turn.
Yes.
So just take us through that as a talented youngster coming out of somewhere like Komaki, where there's a hotbed of surfing talent without a doubt, and then obviously choosing, are you going to go professional? Is this a career? Is it a hobby? Is it a habit? Is it contest? Is it free surfing?
Yeah.
Just give us a little bit of a breakdown as to who you are and how you've taken your talents and turned them into your career and lifestyle.
Sure. I started surfing. I got sponsored first at the age of 12, and I started doing competitions then. That was when we moved to the beach in Komaki. Mm-hmm. And my love for surfing just took off. I surfed every day, no matter rain, wind, son, and I loved it. So I did competitions and I really enjoyed it. But as I went along, I really felt like my true passion wasn't really being used in the contest arena, because yeah. the contests are about high performance, small wave surfing. And I love the bigger stuff. And I had quite a pivotal moment. There's a wave called Dungeons in Cape Town, which is the ultimate big wave in South Africa. Yeah. And it's a very scary place, breaks out in the middle of the ocean, huge, huge waves.
It is a very scary place. I've been out there on a boat more than once, and that's all I would do on a boat. Okay, carry on.
So, I mean, to put in context, they've had waves ridden out there that have been 60 to 70 foot high. And I had a session out there. I surfed it for my first time when I was 17 years old, and I was terrified, but I had the wave of my life, and that really launched my passion for big wave surfing.
Right.
And so from that moment onwards, I started to veer away from the contest scene and the small waves, and I started chasing big waves around the world, places like Hawaii, Indonesia, Australia, Europe. And now I'm 26. I've been doing it for 9, 10 years, and basically, I look for big storms happening around the world, and when it all comes together, I book a ticket, chase it, and a few days later, I'm surfing somewhere crazy, and it's normally big, crazy, scary, powerful waves, and I love it.
You certainly seem like you do love it. Now, you've obviously turned this into your career and your lifestyle, and I mean, as we're chatting about talents and how to take it to the next level, sitting there, finding a storm swell chart, obviously appearing somewhere, and I know you're a fan of Ireland. I see you're always in Ireland. How easy is it to do that kind of thing, to pack up, pack the boards, obviously take a cameraman or something like that? What is the process in that? You see a swell and you start going, right, pick up the phone, get onto the sponsors, look at this, look. How does that process work?
Yeah, so obviously I'm not doing competitions, so I get my sponsors exposure through, I provide them with content, like very exciting big wave content.
Yeah.
And yeah, the process in between swells, you kind of do as much planning as you can so that you're ready to go when a big swell pops up.
Yeah.
And then when it does, you pretty much, you first can see the swell about 7 days out. And you normally will watch it for like 2 days. You will talk to the people, the locals in the area, to see if it's on. And then suddenly you find yourself on your way to the airport, booking a ticket on the way, throwing all your boards into your board bag, and whether it's your wetsuit or your board shorts. And it can be very, very stressful because you're flying in, you're landing totally jet lagged. Like earlier this year, I chased a swell over to Hawaii. And from South Africa, it takes about 40 hours to get there. I arrived totally jet lagged, and we were expecting 60 to 80 foot waves to be happening in the next 2 days. Yeah. So then you still got to gather all your equipment. Hopefully your boards are arriving, and then you have to show up there on the day. You have to get in the right mindset to tackle fear, because fear can be so crippling, especially in big wave surfing, obviously. And it takes a lot of preparation. My faith plays a big part. Mental preparation. You visualize yourself successfully riding the biggest wave of the day. Mm. You have to get excited instead of the fear taking over and the doubt. You got to have confidence. You got to step up. And on the day, you got to be feeling good.
Yeah. I mean, you're like giving me goosebumps down my neck. So the wave that you were surfing was Jaws, BIE, is that correct?
Yes.
And exactly. I believe you guys got it ridiculously large.
Yeah, it's always terrifying going over to Jaws, because you know you're going to be out there probably seeing the biggest waves of your life. Mm-hmm. And this particular day, I went down to the cliff and we looked out, and there were probably 70 foot high waves coming through. And it's just totally terrifying. You go stand on the rocks, and I always like to have a moment on the rocks with a prayer and like a meditation. I try to still myself and gather all, because your thoughts are running crazy and you think it's life and death and all this stuff. And
well,
you
it is. You are surfing 6-7 story buildings that are moving. So yes, it is.
But I mean, you have to kind of dig deep. And for me, I believe big wave surfing is this gift I've been given, and it's my passion. Mm-hmm. And it actually really excites me when I have the opportunity to challenge all the preparation I've been putting in. Yeah. And you find yourself out there, out the back, and when a huge wave comes your way, and your instinct's telling you not to go, and then you say, no, this is actually what I'm here for. I'm here for a reason.
Yeah.
And right here, right now, I'm supposed to be here. And you spin and you go. And when you paddle into one of those monsters and make it, that's when you really feel like you're living.
I'm sure it is. So joining me on air, as I said earlier on, Mr. Matthew Bromley, professional surfer and big wave charger and chaser, launching the new movie. So where did the whole idea for Risky Ripples come about? How does that work? Because I know you guys work extensively with photographers, with filmers. Yes. I mean, there's a lot of good exports that come out of Komaki. And we've got young Mikey February that's on the WSL WCT now.
Yep.
Jeremy Loops would be the other one.
Yes.
And yourself. So, I mean, putting this all together, as you say, showcasing your content and your talent.
Yep.
How does it work with the filming and, you know, putting a crew together, etc.?
Yeah. So I was very lucky enough to work with this guy from Australia. He's a fantastic filmmaker. And him and I put a proposal together for Monster Energy. And they put all the money behind the film. And basically, we are looking to chase down the riskiest waves around the globe and make a film about it. And the basic idea with the name Risky Ripples, like a ripple, every single wave, every swell, it starts off with a ripple. And if it's under the right conditions, it has the opportunity to become a 60-foot wave at Jaws, yeah. You know? So the idea is that everybody has a talent, everyone has a passion. And if you nurture it and you push yourself and you step out of your comfort zone, you can really achieve something wonderful. So that's the idea behind the film. And in the film, we go over to Australia, Indonesia and Ireland. So we've got a mix of the beautiful tropics. We've got crazy, scary waves breaking on rocks in Australia. And then over in Ireland, it's freezing cold and we're waiting for these massive storms to hit the coast. While everyone's sitting by the fire, we're going out and trying to surf these big stormy waves. So yeah, that's the mix that we're dealing with.
Very, very, very cool. Now, for the talent out there, I mean, who are some of the youngsters that are coming through the realms at the moment? Like, are there any ones that you've identified? Obviously, South African would be nice, but who are the youngsters that need to be an eye kept on them?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so exciting to... Well, first off, obviously, Jordy Smith coming out of Durban, South Africa, he's been chasing the world title for many years, and we haven't had anyone kind of close to his ability for a while. And now we've got Mikey February from Komaki, who's on the world tour, and he's taking it to the top surfers in the world. It's so exciting. And we've got some of the most incredible young surfers coming up in the world, and they just need the opportunity to hit the big leagues and get exposure out there. So there's definitely a lot of amazing young talent coming out, and it's very, very exciting.
It is an exciting time. It certainly is an exciting time. I think someone needs to put a wave pool in Johannesburg. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, you do have Sun City, I believe.
Yeah, everyone surfs. Have you ever surfed Sun City? It's really nothing to ride
home
about.
Nothing special, yeah.
No, unfortunately it isn't. Plus, it's not really Johannesburg. It is out there. So, anyway, moving on. Okay, so obviously with honing in on talents and things like that, now your preparation, your workout regime, your eating, looking after your body as your temple, I mean, you're what, like 6'8"? No, what are you, 6'4"?
6'4", yeah.
Yeah, you're a tall guy.
Yeah.
So what kind of prep goes into that? You know, I mean, as I said, eating, mental preparation and training and things. What have you got? What's your regime?
Yeah. Well, I think all the physical training is very, very important. I try to replicate, because the thing is with surfing big waves is you don't have a big swell all the time. So the best training obviously is time in the water in big surf. And so what I like to try to do is replicate that and spend time in the pool. I like to get my heart rate up and then do underwater lengths. So you actually picture yourself in a wipeout with your heart rate buzzing, because in those big waves, your adrenaline is up. Like, you feel like you can't even hold your breath for 10 seconds under the water. So you have to be comfortable in a very uncomfortable situation with tons and tons of water above you, pushing you deep. You can feel the pressure on your ears, and you know you can only come up when the wave releases you. So I'd like to spend a lot of time in the water. I do spearfishing here and there. Obviously, surfing is the best preparation for that.
Yep.
I like to also just have a balanced diet. I'm not crazy into what I eat, but every meal that I have, I like to balance protein, carbs, and veg and greens. And then all of that preparation, really the physical prep, goes into making your mind feel at ease.
Yep.
And I feel like that is the most important part of it. So when you're standing on the rocks and the waves are really big, you kind of either feel very unprepared and you feel very unconfident, or you feel like you're ready for this. And as I said before, my faith plays a really big role. I believe this is kind of what I've been created to do.
Yep.
And when I'm out there in the waves, I feel like there's that movie that was made called In God's Hands, and I really feel like that. And I feel amazing peace when I'm surfing these big waves, and that's right where I'm supposed to be. So, yeah.
Love it. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Okay, so let's go through a couple of like little fun questions. I mean, answer whatever comes to mind first.
Sure.
What, as a professional surfer, what's your most used app?
Probably Instagram.
Probably Instagram.
I love checking
Flight
out
Center.
Yeah, I love checking out what's going on around the world with all the different surfers, and yeah.
Yeah, there are some really cool clips being made up by all the other surfers. Hey?
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen that. Okay. Tell us something about yourself that perhaps not many people know.
Well, I'm only 26, but I'm getting married next month.
That's right. Congratulations.
Thank you. And then it seems like like big wave surfing is like everything now. Suddenly that's all become so small, and this new chapter of my life is so, so exciting. And yeah, it's been unbelievable.
Unreal. Guys, if you could see the smile on his face right now, he's being completely honest and genuine in that. Yeah, that is a whole new chapter.
Yeah.
So that actually leads me to the question. Where do you find yourself in the next 5 years? What's the aim?
Getting married, obviously there's going to be a lot of changes happening in my life. Moving in with the lady Jade, and obviously considering her and trying to also, she's a psychologist, and she's helping young people also that have suffered trauma and all sorts of terrible things. So that's her passion. I'll try to support her in that. But yeah, like obviously I love surfing, and I'm not putting that on the back burner at all. It's still my passion and what excites me. And I'm watching the charts, and when the big swells come around, I'm going to be chasing them. And
brilliant.
As long as I still have support from guys like Monster and Billabong, I'm going to be chasing the big swells around the world. And hopefully in doing that, I can inspire other people to chase their dreams. And I've really got a heart for younger people. There's a lot of things these days that's pushing people to go straight into corporate, into business, and people are scared to chase their passions and their dreams. So I just would like to encourage people that it is a lot of hard work chasing your passion, but it's so rewarding when you're experiencing it, and you're going big in the thing you love most.
Do you think that now that it's the fourth industrial revolution, obviously we're all online and everything's going on, do you think it's a little bit easier for youngsters nowadays to be able to chase their passion? I mean, it's no longer the days are gone where you had to be a doctor, accountant, or lawyer in order to make money. There are opportunities available in everything. I mean, do you find that?
Sure. Yeah, I think that like the online platforms, whatever you're doing, you can. There's an opportunity for you to get yourself out there through the internet, whether it's through social media, through videos on YouTube, and new apps popping up all the time that you can really do whatever you want to do, and you got to work hard at it, but it's out there, you can do it.
I like that a lot. Okay, now just jumping over to the other side, your father John has played a very integral part into into you as a person in every aspect. I mean, I remember when I was commentating surfing events, John would probably be the first one at the beach. He would probably try and catch a couple of waves himself. He'd be the last one there. He would assist you with everything. I mean, is that still the relationship you guys have got?
Yeah, my dad's been really awesome. He took me surfing for my first time when I was 6 years old. And he just loved surfing, but his dad pushed him quite strongly into becoming a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he's the funniest lawyer because he's got like a nice office and he's got good status in his company, but all he wants to do is go surfing. And he's been surfing now for 53 years, I think. And it's so inspiring that he's just so excited about it. And yeah, the relationship was really cool because he kind of taught me in the beginning everything I knew, and he used to take me out. He was surfing pretty big waves back then when I was growing up, and he used to take me out to the to those big waves and really help me and give me pointers. And then maybe around like 15, 16, 17, I kind of overtook him. And I started dragging him, and then dragging him out to the big waves. And I think he surfed Sunset Reef, which is a pretty crazy big wave, and he started surfing that when he was 58 years old. So like, it's never too late to to start charging. And yeah, he's a legend. He made the front cover of the newspaper, I think, when he was 60, surfing a big wave out in front of the house. So,
really?
Yeah, he's been so cool. Really inspiring for me. And still, actually, at the end of this month, we're going on a father-son surf trip together to Indonesia. And it's like the first one we're doing, and I'm so pumped for it.
Jeez, you've got a lot going on at the moment, eh? Yeah. Releasing movies, getting married, and going on surf trips. Guys, you can live this life too. We're talking with Matthew Bromley here, professional surfer on Cliff Central, an Inspired Youth essay. Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio with us. Tell us something, though. What is a lesson that's something maybe your mom or your dad taught you or still teach you that you've never forgotten? What's something that they've, what words of advice did your parents give you that you kind of stick with?
I think that my dad's always ingrained in me that whatever passion you follow, whatever you do, work hard at it.
Yeah.
So even if you are a surfer, a professional works at least 8 hours a day at what he is doing. Yeah. So he's encouraged me to always have a balanced lifestyle and work hard at whatever you're doing. And I did a degree, business degree part-time while I was doing my surfing, and that really helped also to balance things and keep things in perspective, so you're not just absolutely obsessed with one thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess just whatever you do, put your heart and soul into it and work hard at it and believe in yourself that you can achieve your dreams. So, yeah.
There we go. Loving it, loving it, loving it. Okay, so give us the details of Risky Ripples one more time for the premiere tonight in Johannesburg.
So it's going to be at 7 o'clock tonight at Rosebank Scout Hall. And I don't actually know the exact address of that, being in Chopin.
We won't blame you on that one.
But yeah, so pull in. We're going to have some giveaways. We're actually going to be raising money for the 9 Miles Surf Project, which is an amazing outreach project in Cape Town. So there's some amazing Billabong and Ocean Earth giveaways. And I'll give a little talk kind of on overcoming fear and a little background to the project. And yeah, it's going to be a good time, so come pull in.
Fantastic. Lovely. Matthew Bromley, professional surfer, here talking about talent on Inspired Youth SA, of course, on Cliff Central, your number one radio station.
This is CliffCentral.com.
And we're back. Welcome back to Inspired Youth SA, the number one show on the number one channel. I'm trying to get someone's attention when I say that, but it doesn't work. Anyway, Inspired Youth SA, the show where the youngsters get to showcase their talents and obviously try and engage with adult listeners, professionals, educators, influencers, etc., to try and showcase that it is a younger world and it is a fabulous world, and that the youngsters are the future. So I think we should listen to them. Today we are talking about talent. We just did a wonderful interview with a young man called Matthew Bromley, professional surfer, someone who's just about to get married, a big wave surfer, and going on some surf trips and launching movies. So do go and check out Risky Ripples. It's in Rosebank tonight. It is going to be a hell of a show, and if you know the surfing community, it's going to be a whole lot of fun with a whole lot of giveaways from a whole lot of great sponsors. So do go and check that out. 7 o'clock in Rosebank, we'll be showcasing Risky Ripples. But joining me in studio now are two talented young ladies, Matida and Luzibo Moyo.
Hello.
Hi.
There we go. That is correct, eh? Yes. Matida and Luzibo.
Yes.
Okay, so the reason we've invited these two youngsters onto the show today is not only because they are doing something extraordinary and deserve all the credibility for it, but they actually looked after their own PR. And at 16 years old, young Matida emailed us saying, this is what we're doing, with a wonderfully written email. This is what we're doing. This is what we're up to. Would you be interested in having us on the show? So it was an offer I simply could not refuse. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Okay, so Matida, let's start start with you. Just give us a little bit of your background, your name, your age, where you're from, or not your name, we know your name, your age, where you're back from, where you're from, and what's going on in your world at the moment.
Okay, well, hi everyone. My name is Matita, as you already know. I'm 16 years old. I'm from Johannesburg. My family is originally from Zimbabwe. And basically, I've been doing drama since I was 8 years old. And originally, I was doing it just because we would get sweets at the end of the lesson. So I was going for the sweets. And somewhere along the way, I ended up enjoying it. And I competed in the National Ice State Fit. And I actually won an award. So I realized that, hey, I'm actually kind of good at this. So slowly, I started falling more and more in love with drama and acting. And when I was 12 years old, I decided that I wanted to do it as a career. And my parents and my family and friends were all very supportive of it. So there was never a moment where I doubted myself.
Okay, so we're getting back into that self-doubt thing. Doesn't work, does
yeah,
it?
No,
self-doubt's not going to do anything for you guys. Okay, and your story?
I'm Nizibo. I'm 12 years old, and I was the monkey see, monkey do. So I saw my sister start at the age 8. So I was like, at the age 8, I'm also going to start drama. And then I did the exact same thing. And when she started Ice State Fit, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and prove her wrong. I'm also good at drama. Ooh. So I did that, and I did great in it. And then after that, I was like, you know what? This might be a good path for me.
Okay, so so it is monkey see, monkey do, and you're looking up to the sister, but I can't, if I'm, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm looking in your eyes, I can see there's a little bit of a competitive nature between you two, is that right?
Yes,
I thought so. Okay, so we're talking all about talents today. Now, you two young ladies have been invited or been given the opportunity to go and perform at the Arts Talent Showcase in Florida, USA.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a really amazing opportunity. We'll be able to showcase our talents in front of talent scouts from major markets such as, you know, New York, LA, Miami, Atlanta, and it's people from Nickelodeon, Disney, and so many people have started their careers through the arts. So this would be an amazing opportunity for us to not only get recognition, but to also just learn things from influential people that are in the industry.
And get amongst everyone. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Now, Lizibo, you are 12 years old and you're going over for the acting side of things, strictly
yes,
acting, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So why? Why acting?
When I started drama, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna prove my sister wrong. Then I actually started enjoying like finding different characters and not being myself and not being the little shy girl that I am at school, but at home I'm loud. And I liked being different characters and being a different person every day, so I started acting.
Okay. So do people think you're crazy? Or do they just think that you're talented?
Some people think I'm crazy. Some people talented.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, so we're chatting to Matita and Luzibu Moyo, 12 and 16-year-old respectively, that have been invited over to perform at the Arts Talent Showcase in Florida, USA, coming up soon. Now, when is this?
It's happening in July and going into early August.
Okay, wow. So it's just around the corner.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, and you're going to go over to North America for yes, our winter, so you'll be there for summer.
Yeah.
Lovely. Oh, wonderful. Florida during summer. That sounds fantastic. Okay, so I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I kind of want to see some of these personalities or some of these characters you've developed. So maybe okay, we can do that in a second. But I see Mom is here, and Mom has been driving you around profusely. And I can
obviously
from the email that you guys wrote me, I mean, as I introduced myself to her, I was like, hi, are you Mom? And she said, no, I'm the Uber driver. Does Mom do a lot of carting you around to castings and auditions?
Yeah, because we do a lot of things and meetings and interviews and all of that. So she drives us around to everything. So we're rarely ever at home on the weekends and parties as well and going out with friends. She's like driving us around to all those places.
Unreal. Okay, so let's explore talent a little bit further now. Okay, so Matita, 16 years old, you've obviously, how do you work on your talent? So you're obviously, I assume you've got the aspirations of being a top actress.
Yes.
And I know you do the modeling side of things as well. How do you work on your talents in order to achieve what it is that you want to achieve?
I usually just first work on building a holistic character that just has many sides to it. So it's not just like a flat, plain character. And from there, I just practice and practice every night before I go to bed, in the shower. I just go over lines over and over again until it's natural and not so much scripted.
Right. Okay. Your side of things? Are you just competing?
No, because I have my big sister to help me, ask me, did you practice? Yeah. Did you practice? Even on my board, it says 10 times in the night, 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the afternoon. Sunday, you have to show us what you have come up with. So I have her, and I always try to find a different side. Maybe my character's evil, then I try to see how she can be good in some way. So right. I always try to find the good side or the bad side of that character.
Okay, so I mean, obviously, having done Ice Steadfords and things like that in the past, yes. I do know what that is. I also come from a acting background. Do you girls go to a lot of castings, auditions? Is there that kind of market up here?
Yes, there is. Originally, we didn't. We would just do Ice Steadford and competitions like that. But recently, we have started exploring the other side with castings and auditions and all of that stuff.
Okay, so let me ask you, do you prefer stage or screen?
I haven't had much time on screen. I've mostly been on stage, but I do find screen very interesting, and I would love to get more time on screen. So I think even though I haven't been on screen that much, I do definitely prefer screen.
I'm used to stage and like remembering all my lines, because screen I'm not really used to. So maybe one day, because I love doing plays and all that, I don't really like going behind the screen, because then you have so many people, like the cast and the crew and everyone watching you. But I'd rather have like a whole audience watching me and clapping on for me. So yeah, I'd rather have a stage.
There is something quite exhilarating about having a couple of audience. Hundred or dozen or thousand people stand up and applaud a performance that you've done. What is one of the standout moments that you've had, Matita? When was the moment? Let me ask you that. When was the moment that you decided, right, this is something that I'd actually like to take more seriously and do on a professional level, ideally towards a career and a lifestyle?
When I think I was in grade 6, I competed in the Ice Steadfort, and I remember the day that we went to compete was just a mess. I didn't have my costume ready. We were late, so I had to go hire a costume, and when we got there, everyone had already started and they skipped me. So I had to go on a bit later, and then I just was like, okay, let's just forget all of the stresses and everything that's just happened and focus on portraying the character. And I did that, and I actually came best in my age group in our district. So in that moment I was like, oh, actually I'm actually really good at this. And then in grade 8, when we started high school, we were allowed to perform in the house plays, and I'd never actually been in a play. I'd only done monologues and, you know, 1 minute duologues with like friends. And then so I had the opportunity to perform in a play, and it was very new to me because there were so many lines that I had to learn. And I was freaking out, and I was starting to sort of doubt myself throughout the whole process, because the teachers would be like, you know, project, do this. And I'm like, oh no, I'm doing everything wrong. And on the night, I just went out and I did my best, and I actually ended up winning Best Supporting Actress for my role.
Look at you go. Love it. Zeebo, when it comes down to remembering lines and remembering places on stage, yeah, it is a little bit like that. How, do you have any tricks? Is there anything that you do?
I actually put all my words into a song, and then I'm like, okay, let's remember this song. And then when I go onto stage, I'm about to sing the song, then I'm like, wait, their words actually. So then I say them, and then I remember in my head. I always have like all my lines down in my head, and I remember, okay, I said this line, next line, and then I always try to remember. But if I forget a line, no one knows what my lines are actually, so then I'm like,
exactly
fine.
No one knows if you get it wrong,
so
don't
improvise.
Now, I actually remember doing that. I did a play at the Baxter Theatre. I was in a play called Shadowlands, which is a life story of C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And I played his son, or her son, young Douglas Gresham. And I had to walk on stage in the one scene and walk up to him with a book and ask him for a signature. And as I walked on stage, I'd forgotten the book.
Oh, no.
So my one task that I had to do, sitting there. You had one job. And I'm just standing there, and I'm making eye contact with him, and he's like looking at me, and he goes, "You're right, young man." I was like, "Yes." He's like, And he pulls a piece of paper out of his pocket. He's like, why don't I sign this and you can stick it in your book? And I remember going,
that's the biggest fear.
Have there been any, I don't like to say, slip-ups or mess-ups or lessons learnt in acting that you know what not to do again?
Yeah, in last year's house plays, our cast, we were just always joking at practice and someone would mess up their line and then we'd laugh about it for like 10 years and never got on. We never actually did a full run through throughout the whole 3 months that we were practicing. But we were like so confident in ourselves as a cast and we're like, no guys, we got this. You know, we're the best. We're going to go out and win house plays. And on the night, someone forgot their line. So it just was like this silence and no one in the audience actually noticed the silence. But as the cast, you felt like the silence went on for 10 minutes and they were gonna like cut us off and be like, thanks, that was their play. So yeah, that was definitely a learning lesson that in practice, in like rehearsal times, you should use your time wisely.
Right, yeah. Right. And your side, Lizibo?
I had a nice dead fit and it was about my, I was doing my piece and then I had forgot my whole entire thing, so I was like, okay, let me just improvise. And my, when I came off stage, my mom was like, nothing of that made sense. And I was like, okay.
Well, I tried. Okay, so let's go through a couple of questions and answers, and then I'm going to ask you to do a little monologue.
Okay.
Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we always just have some like fun little questions and answers here, so let's see where we're going with it. Okay, so Lizibo, on to you first.
Okay.
What or who inspires you?
Charlize Theron, because she came from South Africa and now she's at the top. So
she is at the top, isn't she? Okay, cool, cool. Matida, what do you do when you are in the car? Or what do you think about a lot of the time?
I usually listen to music when I'm in the car.
Okay, unfortunately, yeah. You're clearly not driving yet, are you?
Yeah.
No, not just yet.
Scene.
Okay. I'm going to ask both of you at the same time. When you grow up, I mean, what is the idea? Actress? Model,
yes.
That's it?
If I don't become an actress, I would like to become a historian because I like history.
A historian. Now, that's something you don't hear too often. Matilda, do you have a fallback?
I would like to open my own production company and release my own movies. Hopefully direct and screenwrite myself as well.
Jeez, so this really is ingrained in your
yeah.
blood, isn't it? This is like in your DNA, thick and thin. Okay, fantastic. Would you rather be chased or would you rather chase someone?
Both of them contains running, so I'd rather be chased.
You'd rather be chased. Do you think you'll get away from someone if you're being chased?
Yeah.
How about your side?
I think I'd rather chase someone because if I'm being chased, is this person trying to kill me or what's going on?
Well, the question actually relates to inspiration.
Okay.
Like, if you're in second place, do you want it to be at number one so badly that you'll go and get it? Or if you're in first place, can you hold first place?
Yeah.
That's kind of the idea.
That's a difficult question.
Okay, well, we can come back to it if you don't mind. Okay, so What else? So let's go through a little bit of a monologue.
Okay.
Have you guys
okay.
prepared anything or do you know what it is that you do?
Go, George.
I'm going to
leave
it
to you. This is a monologue.
I'm glad you all could make it here tonight, gentlemen. I know this means a lot to you, but I know that you all know that it's my duty to have you here. You are men, aren't you? And tonight, you're going to prove it. So come with me, stand up straight, and pick up your instruments. Hey you! I said straight.
Yay! Very nice. Okay. Lizibo is styling. I like that a lot. What's that from? I feel like I recognize that.
I don't know. I found it off the internet, so.
Okay. So this is from The Fault in Our Stars, which is one of my favorite movies.
The what, sorry?
The Fault in Our Stars.
Ah.
Yeah. I just want to say, there'll come a time when, you know, all of us are dead. It may be tomorrow. It may be a million years from now, but it's going to happen. And at the end of the day, none of us are going to live forever. Oblivion is inevitable, dude. And if that scares you, then I suggest you ignore it.
Scene. Very nice, ladies. Very, very, very nice. I'm liking this very much. What is your definition of success?
I think it's just living your best life and being happy with what you are doing in your life. I don't think it has anything to do with money or your status in life. I think it's just knowing that you're comfortable with where you're at in life and you feel as though you have achieved everything that you want to achieve, or you are on your way to achieving everything. That is just great.
That's success.
Yeah, that's success.
I think it's when you're happy with yourself, when you feel peace in your life and you don't feel like I need to get anything more, but you still want to get something more, then you're not successful in your life. You don't feel happy.
This is exactly why we bring these young ladies onto the show like this. They have knowledge. They're like wise beyond their years. We're loving this. So, guys, if you're listening, please do tweet at us or throw any comments your way or our way at InspiredYouthSA, hashtag InspiredYouthSA, and always add CliffCentral.com. You got any questions or anything like that, would like to get in touch with Matido Lazibo Moyo, two young ladies that are off to the Arts Talent Showcase in the US. So let's have a little bit more of a chat about the actual event. Do you, I mean, you girls have clearly done your research and things like this.
Yeah.
How does it all work? What's going on there? I mean, obviously there's talent scouts and things like that, but how does the whole system work?
Well, for a large bit of the week that you were there, there's going to be workshops from people that are already in the industry, and they're going to be teaching you things like fighting on camera, modeling workshops, dancing workshops, singing workshops for all the singers. So you can attend all of those to learn more about how the industry actually works. And then on the last few days, that's when you perform for the people in the industry who can scout you. And at the end, then you have open interviews and callbacks where you can now meet the people who are interested in maybe working with you in the future, and you can ask them questions and learn things from them, and they can help you to sort of establish how to build a portfolio.
Okay. Anything else from your side?
Yeah, and you also go to like the New York Film Academy. We spend like 2 days in New York, and we go to the New York Film Academy. We have 1 day off, and we learn more things from Alcibi than I ever knew. So, and Kim Myers. Kim Myers is a great person.
She loves Biltong.
So.
She must be a great person then. Now, is Mom Ubering you?
Yes.
Yeah, she is.
Or at least joining you, companying with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, she is. Hopefully, yeah, she'll be able to join us and just to help us and for moral support, because when me and my sister are alone, we tend to fight a lot because I'm very hard on her and she doesn't take that very easily. So she starts crying. So we just need Mom there to take care of her.
Just be in the middle.
Kind of thing.
Right. Okay. Okay. So kind of ending off. What would be some advice that you've got with regards to honing your talent and living the best life, as you say, and having that success story at the end? But what is your advice to your peers, to people that may be listening that would like to, you know, get some inspiration from you?
I think just to, first of all, believe in yourself and work really hard. You can't just have talent and expect everything to come to you. You have to work, you have to go out there and you have to get it, because there are so many opportunities, especially in today's world with social media. There's so many ways to find opportunities and so many new innovative things that you can do, and you just need to find those places where you belong and you can make yourself known and, you know, make yourself recognized, and just work really hard on your talent, because it's not just gonna fall in your lap.
Practice. And from your side?
As my sister said, practice and always try hard, and don't expect everything to come just your way. So if you start an Instagram account one day, it's not like when you wake up you're gonna have like 50k the next. You still have to work and you have to wait, and you're not gonna get verified the next day because you have so many fan accounts. And if you start a YouTube account, you're not gonna get like 1,000 subscribers in one day. You have to wait. During that waiting process, you can still practice, you can still like let yourself out there. You can say, hey, go follow my Instagram, hey, go subscribe to my YouTube. You can do so many other things to get subscribers. You can go to a random person on the road and say, go follow my Instagram. I don't care if you don't have it, you can download the app today.
Is that a big part of everything that you do, the whole the following side of things?
Yeah, I think social media is a very big part.
Your phone hasn't stopped buzzing since you walked in here.
Yeah, everyone's like, yeah, you're on radio. But yeah, I think social media is a very big part because it's connecting you to people from all around the world, and they can see you, and you can be scouted through social media. And so many people have been scouted through social media and things like websites on the internet, you know, things like SoundCloud, YouTube. Those type of things have really helped a lot of people to make their dreams come true.
Try and try and try again, and don't let that self-belief ever go away from you in any way, shape or form. You are and have been listening to Inspired Youth SA here on Cliff Central. From our side of things, obviously just want to say thank you to the ladies for joining us in here. We'll have a little end off just now, but just in a couple of announcements, we've concluded the High School Career Expo in Cape Town over the weekend at Cavendish Square. A couple of hundred fantastically excited youngsters down there. So a very big thank you and well done to the guys at High School Career Expo and, of course, Cavendish Square for being such wonderful hosts. Coming up around the corner, there are a couple of events in May, but I can't seem to open my calendar right now, so I'll tell you about the ones in June. We have the Gauteng Provincial Government's annual Youth Month celebrations, where we will have 150,000 people congregate over a 10-day period at Nasrec Centre. So a very big thank you to the Gauteng Provincial Government for putting together such a fantastic event. Inspired Youth will be hosting the main stage on the 9th, as well as the 16th, which of course is Youth Day, down at Nasrec. And we have got some rather interesting name celebrities coming our way. I don't want to burst the bubble just yet, but we're going to have celebrities on stage, giveaways, performances. Maybe we can even entice these young ladies to come and join us. You never know. Also, waiting on a sign-off for tomorrow, but it looks like we are going to, drumroll please, make an attempt on a Guinness World Record at the event. So more news to follow in that. I'll leave that for now. Another event in June is on the 15th and 16th of June. Of course, it is Edu Week. It's at the Ticker Pro Dome. Go and check them out online and see all the interesting things that are going on there. Young Candice Modisele and myself are going to be hosting the awards dinner evening. She is obviously from Generations. And so we're going to be doing that. And then at the same time, Pride Factor is very proud to announce that we are launching our online academy in the second term. So we're going to be doing that in the next few weeks. As soon as you guys get back to school, our online academy that teaches you life skills, business acumen, and basis of entrepreneurship, and how to present yourself, and how to look after your social media account, and how to write emails like you have written to us here. That kind of stuff. Just life skills that you may or may not know. We're very excited to be launching our online academy. So girls, in ending, any little message that you would like to throw out there to any of your loyal fans or followers or new fans and followers?
Thank you everyone for tuning in if you listen. Shout out to Cameron Harris for tuning in and letting me know that she was listening. Guys, don't give up on your dreams, you know, follow your dreams and don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
I'd like to thank everyone who was listening and listening to us. And I hope what we said inspires some of you. And don't forget to follow our social media. It's all Lizibo Moyo and Matida Moyo.
My Instagram is matida_, and my Twitter is Matida Moyo.
And my Instagram is Lizibo_Moyo, and my Twitter is just Lizibo Moyo. My mom looks after all these accounts, please don't. Yeah.
I was actually going to say, firstly, guys, we'll obviously be sharing the social media platforms on our social media platforms, so do check out Inspired Youth SA. But I think that if you two girls don't give a thank you to Mom, you might be walking home.
thank you, Mom.
Guys, it's been another fun, fantastic, and interesting insight into the youth of today on Inspired Youth SA. Catch us next week as we go bigger, better, faster, more. Thank you for listening.
This is CliffCentral.com.